They brought the ark back, or up to, I'm sorry, not back, but up to Jerusalem. It came to pass in chapter 15, verse 29, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. She doesn't understand. She doesn't understand what it means to worship God. She doesn't really understand what it, why he would even want to bother. She thought it was beneath him, beneath his station, so to speak. Many people don't understand. And you get a chance, you and me, we get chances to worship God. We can worship him in our way, but it just needs to be from our hearts. And Jesus told us, he said, you know, the time is coming and it now is right now when the Lord is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what David was doing. His wife didn't appreciate it, but nonetheless, that's what David was doing. So they brought the ark, chapter 16, verse 1. They brought the ark of God, set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, a lot of beef, and a flagon of wine. The ark of the covenant, which represents the presence of the living God. It's also a type of Jesus Christ. The ark of the covenant is where it belongs, in the capital city of Jerusalem. And this is the way we say it, in the heart now of the nation of Israel. The very center of all things, God needs to be. And David understood that, and so David wanted, in his heart it was, God had placed it there to have him bring the ark where it should be, in the center of all of Israel, the heart of Israel. And Jesus Christ, God, the Lord God Almighty, should be the center of our lives as well. And this is a great day of celebration and of joy for the entire nation. It's not a time to mourn, not a time to be down. It's a day of celebration. And so he gave people, they could go home to their homes and celebrate their families and with one another, families getting together with families and celebrating. And they offered, the Bible says, sacrifices. We, reading through the law, as we've read through the law, we remember, I'm sure you do, that the burnt offerings were a type or would point to Jesus Christ through the things that Jesus Christ would be, the things that Jesus Christ would accomplish. And that's how God sees these sacrifices. And remember, we studied that when we studied through the law. The work that he would accomplish on the cross, these burnt offerings. Then there were the peace offerings. The peace offerings, you recall, I'm sure you do. Do this. You do. Oh, yeah. Speak of the fact that Jesus made peace by the blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. Jesus, this peace offering, he is our peace. There is now peace between you and me and God through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. And I know you remember all that, so there's a peace. So we see Jesus Christ, not just in the ark, but in the burnt offerings. Not just in the burnt offerings, but in the peace offerings as well. And we go to verse 4. And he, David, he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Everybody had a job to do. Asaph, the chief, in other words, he's the one in absolute control over the ark and all that had to do with it. Next to him, Zechariah, Joiel, and Shemir Amoth, and Jehiel, and that guy in Eliab, and Benaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaniah, also in Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Asaph, If you read through your Psalms regularly, I hope you do, one of the things that I try to do, and I would encourage you to do the same, doesn't really take a whole lot of time, but it does take a little time, to read through the Psalms every month. You just look at the date of the day. For instance, if today is the 7th, you would read Psalm 7, and then you would add the number 30 to it. So you then read Psalm 37 and then Psalm 67 until you ran out of Psalms to read. And the way that works out mathematically is you'll read 5 Psalms every day. The one long day that might be Psalm 119, but that's all right. You get through it. And you read the Psalms every day. If you read the Psalms a lot, you recognize the name Asaph, don't you? The chief musician, the guy that's overseeing the temple and the ark. And that's Asaph, who wrote some of the Psalms himself. God breathed, God inspired. He was appointed, Asaph was, to be in charge of the ark in its new surroundings, there in the tent that David had set up. And they placed the ark there. Asaph was the worship leader. He was the nation's worship leader. That's interesting. What a great position to have. You know, David is the king, the prophets, whoever they might be, Nathan, you know, whoever the prophet is at the time. And then there's the worship leader. That's a position in government. I like it. We need one. Asaph was the worship leader. And Asaph was in charge of the Levites as they would go about their daily routine, their daily duty in full-time service to the Lord. And we're given just a glimpse, just a small glimpse of their responsibilities. In verse 4, he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to record. Some of them were to record. That doesn't mean they're making CDs and selling them on iTunes, but they were to record nonetheless. And to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. So people have assignments, responsibilities. Notice that some would worship the Lord in music, in praise and in worship. Not everybody was in the praise band, and not everybody can be in the praise band. But some were. Asaph was. He played the cymbals. I've always wondered if it was hard to do that. I watched the guys in the marching band, and it looked like an easy thing. I don't know how difficult it might be. But I guess you got to be good at it to play the cymbals. Everybody hears you. So some of them are going to worship the Lord in music, praise and worship. Some praise the Lord but with their voices and as being part of the choir, giving thanks for his blessings. So some were, their responsibility was giving thanks. Some, their responsibility was worship, just to lift up the name of the Lord and just honor the Lord. That was their responsibility. Some were put to the position of recording it all. Now, you don't get a picture of a guy with headphones and a big microphone on a stick, you know, trying to get close. That's not what that means. The word to record means literally, I like this, in verse 4. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. The ones that were to record, that word record literally means to make everyone else remember. That's what it means to record. To make others remember. What am I saying? They would write these things down so that all throughout the years, everyone would remember all that took place, all that happened. It's good to have somebody do that. I see some churches, they have on staff a full-time person with a video camera, and that person's whole job in this life is to record everything that church does, whether it's a picnic or whether it's whatever it turns out to be. They're recording so they will remember everything God has done, and they're getting it in high def and in living color. And that's the idea. The word record means to make everyone remember. God assigned some people the chore of recording it so others could remember it and they could go back and watch or go back and look or go back and read. In this particular case, they were recording it down and people would go back and read it. They would remember what God did. It is important to you. It is important to me. It is important to all of God's children to remember what He has done. If you forget, you go back and you're reading through the Psalms, and the psalmist will say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget all His benefits. The Lord to thee is kind. Remember what He has done throughout the years." You don't dwell on it. You don't live back there. But don't you dare forget all that God has taught you and all the blessings He has given you. Those of you that have been walking with the Lord for 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, you should have story after story after story that you can tell to your children and to your grandchildren and to anybody else who might be silly enough to listen, right? To tell them the things that God has done. Because I'll tell you what, they'll say, "Whoa, that's cool." And they'll be starting to look at their own lives and saying, I better pay attention. God might do something like that to me and I can tell others. Record. Some people are called on to help others to remember. There were many people involved in the service of the Lord, in recording, in being musicians and playing, in praising and in worshiping. And in thanksgiving, giving thanks. I think about that, and I think about the priests, the Levites, etc., who were assigned those jobs. And then I think about you and me, and you'll notice we are called to do all those. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. All nations, join we now together in the love of the Lord. Forget not all His benefits. The Lord to thee is kind. Give Him thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. Continually pray. Pray without ceasing. Worship. We're doing all those things. We've got those assignments. And we're remembering so that we're recording so that we can tell others what God has done. But oh, wait. Don't just hear what God has done. Hear what God is doing. God is still God. He is still doing something. It wasn't all 3,000 years ago or 15 years ago. It is also now, today. God is still doing, and you and I are still recording, aren't we? So that we can tell others. Excuse me. Got my health. All right, all the way to verse 7. Then, on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. David wrote a psalm. It's a song. David was a musician, don't forget. His wife was mad at him for it, as you recall, making sort of what she figured was a fool of himself, playing the instrument, dancing around, and just being what musicians are. But he wrote down, King David wrote this psalm. It's a psalm to thank God. And he delivers it. He says to Asaph, "I'll teach it to you, and you guys can sing it." So he gives it to the worship leader. Here's a song that I wrote. Remember, these are God-breathed words. All scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed these words into David's heart and he penned them. And it's a song, the Bible says, just to thank God, our Lord. So now we're going to read it. And as we read it, you may recognize Psalm 105. It's not just Psalm 105. It comes from parts of other psalms David added into there. But Psalm 105, a great bit of it. And we read this. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. All right, that is Psalm 105 right there. We're to make known the deeds of our God. Tell people the things he's done in your life. And I know he's done things in your life. Don't sit there and go, I don't know. You don't have to think very hard or long at all to know the things that God has done in your life. Sometimes when we tell what God has done, it's a little embarrassing for us because we have to admit what idiots we might have been, that God had to pull us out of different holes and etc. But the truth is, telling of the wondrous works of God. Make known the deeds of our God. And of course, I said it earlier, but let's say it again. Not just what he has done back there, but what he is doing here and now in our lives. Because he's doing something. God is working right now in your life, in the lives of your family. He's teaching us. We're learning things. Sometimes they're kind of frightening things. Sometimes there are things that we don't quite understand. We're experiencing them and we're going through them, but we still aren't sure yet what the Lord is saying to us. And we're saying, show me, Lord, help me to understand. And we go through things, even right now. Isn't that true? Do this. Act like you're, okay, I feel better. Sing to the Lord. And it's all right if your voice is no good. Get in your car all alone. Belt it out, but leave the windows up. I mean, I don't know. If you got a good voice, you know. Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord, Psalm 100. Just make a joyful noise. But go for it. You know, don't hurt everybody else. Just sing to the Lord. And talk about, what does it say? His marvelous works. So, if you ask me, true Christians always have something to talk about. They just do. They always have something to talk about. And it shouldn't be each other. What should it be? Memorize Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It's kind of long. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are... Go and memorize. Think on these things. If we talk about the marvelous works of God, we won't be talking about old what's your name. If we talk about and sing about the marvelous works of God, we won't be all over what's his face's back. You know what I mean? It will help us. It'll help our own hearts. It'll keep us away from trouble some. And verse 10 says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works, there it is again, that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. We should, and this is for the children of Israel, but this is for every one of us who loves the Lord as well. We should seek the Lord. Seek his face. How often? Continually. Something we need to be, I believe, I know I do, we need to be constantly reminded of. If you read through the Psalms regularly every month, you'll be reminded of this, not just in one Psalm. It will be a pattern that you'll see over and over, continually reminding us to seek God's face. Seek the face of God continually, meaning at all times, in each and every circumstance and situation. Seek the Lord. I find that I am more likely to seek the Lord when I'm in trouble. How about you? When things are, when I'm under a little bit of pressure, when there's a little trouble going on, when I catch myself being more quick to seek the Lord. And so that's good. So God bless him. just puts a little pressure in my life. Allows it there. Oh, okay, Bob, if that's what's going to take, no big deal. I could do this. Here, pressure. Oh, God. It works. Till we come to the point where we start to mature and catch on that we should continually seek His face. What do you think about this, God? Lord, what are you trying to say here? Lord, how about this idea? How do you want this done? Do you want this done? Lord, what about that? There's a song that we used to sing. Because there was a time in early in my growing in the Lord. Early on in my growing. We sang so many songs that were just scripture. And I remember those songs. And I kind of miss them. So sometimes I sing them all by myself, you know, in the car with the windows up. Don't need to thank me. It's just what I do. Hosea 10:12. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember this song. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Good song. And we would just sing that, kind of a happy song. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. And we learn from Psalm 105 and from 1 Chronicles 16, it's time to seek the Lord all the time. As we grow more and more, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. Well, verse 13 says, O you seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham and of His oath unto Isaac. And hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Another thing that we learn here is we should be mindful always of God's covenants. We live, you and I, we call ourselves Christians, and we live under what you and I would call the new covenant. When Jesus, there at the Last Supper, in that upper room, when he called the other covenant old, He made the new covenant new. But we're to be mindful of God's covenants. Notice, we're to remember, not just Israel, but you and me, we're to remember the covenant God made with Abraham. He talks about the covenant which He made with Abraham. When it went on down through Isaac and then through Jacob, on down through all the children of Israel. We're to be mindful, to remember that covenant. The covenant God made with Abraham, according to God's word, the covenant God made with Abraham is still in effect today in the 21st century. Still in effect. Over 3,000 years ago. It's still in effect today. That covenant was made before there was a nation called Israel. We're to be reminded. We're reminded to remember. Whew. God's covenant with Abraham. Remember what He said? Those who bless you, I will bless them. Those who curse you, I will curse them. And that covenant is still in effect right now. And He passed it on from generation to generation. He passed it on from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, from Jacob through his sons, through Joseph, all the way through. And you've got King David here, but it comes all the way through to every one of us as well. The covenant is still in effect this very day, everybody. God is not finished with Israel yet. He said so. In fact, we read that in these verses. I read verses 13 through 17. We read it in these verses that this covenant between God and Abraham is an everlasting covenant. Everlasting. You know, and you ask yourself again, how long is everlasting? Those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. And it is an everlasting covenant. And the Word of God reminds us, don't forget the covenants of the Lord our God. Verse 18 says, saying unto thee, I will give thee, or give you the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And all we read there is the reminder that God has his hand of protection on Abraham, on Isaac, on Jacob, and on all of the children, the true children of Israel. God took care of them. He took care of their children, of their children's children. He will always take care of them. He will always take care of their children. But clearly, there is an application for you and me as Christians right here and right now today. The Lord cares for those that are His. The Lord protects and the Lord defends His own. He has promised to do that. Remember when Jesus made the statement, I will not leave you comfortless. I would never do that to you, orphans. I wouldn't do that. I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God, as we read through the psalm that David wrote, we're reminded of the promises and the covenants God has made, not just to Israel, but to each one of us. The application is for today as well. Has he finished with Israel? No. Does he guide and protect and defend his church? Yes. And he always will. He promised to do so. Well, let's look at verse 23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. That's right out of Psalm 24. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You know, there are many idols in the world today, just like there were many idols in the world of King David's day. There are many idols. The word idol literally means a thing of naught, a thing of nothing. So you and I understand that an idol is really nothing at all. You can carve it out. Give it a mouth, give it a nose, give it eyes, give it what you like, some ears. Cover it with gold, it's beautiful. Put it on the shelf. But the word idol means a thing of nothing. Imagine you calling yourself that, the American idol. The thing of nothing. It's not really something to shoot for if you think it through. That's what the word idol means. And there are many idols in the world today, and an idol is useless because it's nothing. But on the other hand, God Almighty, he says, the Lord created heaven. What's the point? The Lord God here is identified as the creator of all things. And he says here, the Lord created heaven. An idol is nothing, but the Lord God created heaven itself. Many people today worship false gods. Any false god is an idol. The word means a thing of nothing. Might be the most important thing in their lives. In other words, they may be sincere. And I think every one of you know this. We can all be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. And I hope you understand that. Just because somebody believes something with their whole heart doesn't make it real, doesn't make it the truth. Many are believing with their whole heart that we're headed for global warming. When I graduated from high school 796 years ago, the scientists warned us that by the year 2000 we were headed for a global ice age. The doomsayers will continue to say doom, and now it's cow manure. That's what's causing it. Everybody hops on board the idle train. Okay, well, we got to just not go to an ice age. Well, we got to not go to a heat age. Well, we got to not go to... Listen, everybody. Those are idols. Those are things of nothing. You really think that one nation is going to get together and change the entire temperature of the globe? Do you really think that? Never happened in all of the history of mankind. Don't worry, America will do it, though. I read that today. Glory, verse 27. Glory and honor are in His presence. Who's His? God Almighty, the one that created or made the heavens. Glory and honor in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering. Come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. We are called upon here, all God's people. We're called upon here to worship God in the beauty of His holiness. Because people misunderstand what that is all about, they think, well, we're just talking about scenery. Let's just go out to the beautiful scenery. Maybe by the mountains with snow-capped peaks and beautiful, or the trees. Some people say, well, it means that the church has to really be an ornate building with gold-plated this and with... No, you're missing it. We're not talking about the beauty of scenery or the beauty of church buildings. We're talking about worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, as Jesus has called us to do. In the beauty of His holiness, what does that mean? All that God truly is what it means. In the beauty of His holiness, all that He is, in all of His righteousness and holiness, the one true living God, in spirit and in truth, the beauty of His holiness, the real God Almighty who sits on the throne, enthroned and inhabits eternity, so big that the world cannot contain Him. Heaven is His throne, He will write, and earth a footstool. Earth is too small to hold Him. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. We couldn't make anything beautiful enough for Him to come and live in. So He is building His own temple using living stones. Who are they? According to God's word, those that truly belong to Jesus. You are the temple of the living God. And so we're told to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Look at verse 30. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad and and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He comes to judge the earth. You know, we cry out now as believers. The Lord reigns. We understand that our God reigns, even though Satan is the prince of this world. we still have an understanding spiritually that our God is the Lord who reigns. And we cry that out. We sing about it. You find it through the Psalms. The Lord reigns, and blessed be our God. May the God of my fathers be exalted. Well, one day, the whole world is going to cry out, the Lord reigns. One day. Probably not tomorrow, but one day. And then he says, even the trees will sing out. I wonder what it sounds like when trees sing. I don't know. I never heard that. I've heard a lot of things. And if someone has asked, what do you think it sounds like when trees sing? I don't know. But I do know that one day we'll hear that. All of creation will sing out that the Lord reigns. I've heard some people sing, and I got to figure trees got to sing that good, if not better. We're going to hear the trees sing out at the presence of the Lord. Those rocks that remained silent that day he rode into Jerusalem, I figure they're going to be singing too. Give thanks to the Lord, we read, for he is good. And in Africa, you know, the saying, we say it over here sometimes, but in Africa, it's just, it's on everybody's lips. God is good, and everybody answers all the time. God is good all the time. Not just when I'm happy, not just when it's all flowing my way, but God is good all the time. He's just good. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Forever never ends. I think that's great news. God has no shortage of mercy. Now, we got to be thankful about that. If you just think through your own life, God has no shortage of mercy. Look at the things he has forgiven. He's not overlooking them. Those sins that Christians are sinning, he's not overlooking them. They are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ and the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ himself. Sin is not ignored, never is ignored. God never turns his back on it and says it didn't happen. It must be dealt with, and it was dealt with at the cross. So God's mercy endures forever. And he has more than enough mercy for you and for me. And mercy, as I read through God's word, plus as I just look at my own self, mercy is just exactly what I need. What about you? Mercy is exactly what you need, isn't it? It's not a raise. It's not something new. It's not, a nicer walkway. It's mercy. And that's the truth. So give thanks to God, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Mercy without end. His mercy endures. His mercies, we read in Lamentations, his mercies are brand new every day. A fresh batch. Kind of like manna on the ground. A fresh batch. Aren't you thankful now that you've been through today? That tomorrow you get to start over again, and maybe it'll be better than this. And if you trust in God and walk with God, it doesn't matter what comes at you. Why? Because God is good all the time, and his mercies endure forever, and we all need that. So what we do is we should cry out to God today, because that's just what we need, is his mercy. Cry out to God on behalf of those that you know who don't realize it right now, that what they really need is Jesus Christ, and what they really need is God's mercy. You know, I remember a lady saying, what I really need, I was with her in the intensive care, and she had tried to commit suicide, and she had been in a coma for days when she came to. I was talking with her, and she said, what I need is a new boyfriend, because she tried to kill herself over the old boyfriend. I said, no, what you need is Jesus. You know, you need God's mercy. Boyfriends are a dime a dozen. I don't want one, but I mean, if you want one, they're easy to get. What you need is Jesus, the mercy that he's got to offer. And there she's thinking she needs another boyfriend. No, you're in this condition because of boys. You need Jesus. We all need it. So cry out to Jesus today, because it's just what I need, just what we need. God's mercy. Well, look at verse 35. And say ye, or and you say, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen. And they praised God. There's the end of the psalm. Save us, Lord, and deliver us. When the psalmist writes such a simple prayer from his heart, help me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. And I think, what a profound statement, and so simple. Help me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. You ever pray it? Yeah, about every 30 minutes. Yeah. Help me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Save us, O Lord. Deliver us so that we can give thanks to your name and glory in your praise. In other words, we'll take pleasure in praising and honoring you. And all the people said, amen. And that means, so let it be, or let it be exactly that way. Amen. And they all praise the Lord. So let it be. So, verse 37, he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He left Asaph and his brethren, remember they're in charge, to minister before the Ark continually as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with their brethren, 80, that'd be 68. Obed-Edom also the son of Jeduthun and Hosa to be porters, doorkeepers. Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeah. Hey, remember these names, okay? Do me a favor, remember those names. To offer burnt offerings upon the Lord, unto the Lord, I'm sorry, upon the altar of the burnt offering continually, morning and evening, and to do so according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. See, it looks like, here's what's going on, sad to say, there was not a continuation of the sacrifices according to the law during the reign of King Saul. It wasn't being done. God's word was being ignored. So it was the heart of King David to get this ark where it belongs, and we should be doing according to God's word, according to the law. And so they're a sign. That's why I said, remember their names. You remember the name Asaph. You probably remember some of these other names. Zadok, the priest. Obed-Edom, you've seen that a few times. So Hosea, remember these names. They're going to offer burnt offerings to the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the word of God, the law of God, which he commanded Israel. King Saul was not a man of the word of God. And these things were not being done according to God's will and according to God's word. They were just, well, they were forgotten. They went by the wayside. No big deal to King Saul. But David, who's a man after God's own heart, says, this has to be. This is God's word. Well, he did it wrong, not according to God's word. And you remember what that cost. And so David, he's growing up somebody. He's saying, it has to be. We have to do it just the way God wants it. This is God's word. It's God's will. It's God's city. We are God's people. This is God's earth. This is the Lord's creation. We should be listening to him. And remember, everybody, this is being recorded from a spiritual point of view. So I mentioned the names. And you thought, oh, right. No, I did that on purpose. We're not given throughout here the names of David's Secretary of State, are we? Or the names of the ambassadors to the UN. Or to the ambassadors that David would send to the nations round about, to the foreign ambassadors to Tyre or to wherever. Notice that? Well, we'll read that David sent an embassage or sent ambassadors or sent people to speak to the king of Tyre. Remember all that? Notice we're not given their names. What names are we given? Now, think about this, Christian. We're given the names of those who are responsible for worshiping God and praising God and recording the things of God and serving the Lord. We're given the names of the important people in the kingdom, not all the rulers and all their... Get it? Notice this is written from a spiritual perspective. You can go back and find some of the names of the other guys, but right here, we're not given the names of those people. We're given the names of the priests and of the men and the women you're going to see who serve the Lord. Those are the important names to God. The ones who serve the Lord, worship the Lord, praise the Lord. Those who minister to the Lord. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. There it is again. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. And sons of Jeduthun were porters, doorkeepers. And all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Why are they told to give thanks to God? Why are we told? We've seen it twice. Why are we told? Give thanks to God. The answer is right here in verses 41, 42, 43. Right before our very eyes. Because his mercies endure forever. God is good all the time. No matter what comes in my life or through my life or to my life. God is good all the time. What will tomorrow bring? Nobody really knows. But if there is a tomorrow, God will be with you in it. If there is a tomorrow, God will be with me in it. If tomorrow brings tragedy, God will be with me in it. If tomorrow brings the greatest day you've ever lived on the planet, God will be with you in it. So we don't fear what may be. Why? Because God is good all the time. Why do we give thanks? Because his mercy endures forever. That's why we praise our God. That's why we worship our God. That's why we give thanks to our God. His mercies endure forever. He has shown each and every one of us mercy. There is no one here that he has not shown mercy to, because he shows his mercy to everyone. And his mercies are brand new every morning, and his mercies never fail. They never fail. Even though I fail, you fail, all sorts of other things fail, God's mercies never fail. They will never fail. His mercies endure forever and ever. Everybody, after that great celebration, heads on home. David goes back, going to bless his house. And what are the priests going to do? What they're called to do. Praise and worship and record and remember and make sure everybody remembers God is good and everybody remembers the things that God has done. And he has done things in your life that if you would share those things with others, it might change their lives for all eternity. He has done things in your life because His mercy has been so good in your life that others could be affected for all eternity. So don't be embarrassed to share what the Lord has done. As a matter of fact, the psalmist writes, we need to remember what He's done and to tell of His wondrous works to others. God is good all the time. He loves you. We ask you, Lord, to remind us of these things when the days aren't easy. And sometimes they're cold. And sometimes the car works and sometimes the car doesn't. And there are always things that seem to be problems. You've shown us, if we will learn and listen, or listen and learn, you've shown us that these aren't problems. They're an opportunity to grow. Lord, grow us up. Thank you for your mercy. And as we will go home and everybody handle what they've got to handle, then lay our heads down, Lord, we ask you to give us sleep, to protect us, to defend us. And if you give us tomorrow morning, that we would get up once again, your mercy's brand new, and be joyful and knowing that you are there, you are good, you'll keep your covenants and all your promises. We praise you, Lord, and help us to tell the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.